Support for NPR podcasts comes from Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide, and proud supporter of NPR Music Podcasts at PabstBlueRibbon.com.
Hey, this is Nick Vanderkolk, the producer for Love and Radio. The episode this week is kind of gross, so if you're squeamish around blood and things like that, you might want to skip this one.
I've thought about how I'm going to get human parts. I've considered, the only way I can think is soon is to get like a crackhead or something and get him like maybe $300 for a finger or something like that, you know? It would work. It would work. It would so work. It would so work. Think about it. I don't know if that's, I think it's legal. Is that illegal? I don't think it's like illegal. It might be illegal. But what about just a finger? But I would probably be famous. That's like the one. That's like my. Like if I can't get it that any other way, I'll just pay someone for a finger. What can they really do to me if I used a finger, though? I wonder what the punishment is for that.
I really don't know.
Any jail time? I can look it up.
The door of the gallery comes flying open. Like, literally just bursts open. And Peter comes stumbling into the gallery. And I turn and I look at him and I say, Peter. And he turns to me and I see his whole face. I mean, his whole face is covered in blood. Covered. You know what I mean? Like, just smeared in his hair, all over his face, down his neck. His whole shirt is covered in blood. The lights were on where I was, and the lights weren't on where he was, and so the light was sort of coming through the door. So when he turned, his face was like sort of half lit, and I noticed he's covered in blood. It looked like a fucking horror movie or something. And he turns to me, and I look down below him, and like the gallery floor, it's like this sort of hardwood floor, and like it's coming through the door, light coming through the glass door from the street, from the lights in the street,
sort of half lit.
And I look down below him, and it's like you just see little drops of blood just dripping out, you know. And I'm looking, and it looks like blood just drops, you know. And I'm looking, and it looks like it's almost raining blood underneath him. I saw the first few drops, and then they kept going, and then it was more, and then it was, like, spurting off of him. Peter, what the fuck happened to you? And I started to get up to go over to him, and he started, like, just sort of babbling and just, like, was waving his hands around. And when he raised his hand up, I, like, seriously almost passed out. I was just, like, I instantly became weak. I looked at his hand, and his right pinky was just straight up missing. It was just gone. And I guess it's like a tendon that runs from your elbow all the way down into your hand, and you could feel each one going over the back of your hand towards your fingers, and that helps control, you know, I think raising your fingers up. Like that.
Yeah, and if you squeeze if you make a fist, you can.
Yeah, you can. Like you, yeah, elbow. You can feel them on your elbow if you make a fist or open it. And so apparently each of these are individual. There's like, you know, five of them or whatever, and each one is connected to a finger. And so when he ripped his finger off, and we'll get to how he did that later, it separated the tendon at the elbow. And so it, and then it pulled the tendon out. And so when he held his hand up, it was like his pinky was missing. But there is literally about 6 or 7 inches of this nasty-looking, bloody, like, tendon hanging out of his hand. And it was just, like, dangling and waving as he waves his hand around.
So it was maybe a Friday night, and we decided to stay in, get drunk, and watch this movie called The Eye. This girl had lost her eye, and she went to the hospital to go get an eye transplant. And with this new eye, she started seeing dead people. The movie itself wasn't good, but it was kind of graphic. And I went to sleep thinking about it. So, I don't know how long I was asleep for, but I was sound asleep. Maybe 2 hours into it. I'm woken up. I have no idea what's going on. I looked up, and at this point, I had my bed on the floor, with my head right against these French doors. And I looked up, and there was a hand sticking through one of the glass panes. His knuckles were bleeding, and there was a good cut on his wrist that was dripping blood down onto my pillow that was directly below the French door.
I think it's a bad dream. I want to go to bed.
It was dark in my room, and I just tried to make myself go back to sleep. But it didn't go away, the noise didn't stop. And I got up and I was completely naked.
Completely naked.
Completely. I didn't have any clothes on. Yeah, so I was naked, and before I had gotten up, I was, like, groping around next to my bed to look for an empty 40-ounce. And I didn't find one, but I found a Nalgene bottle. It was pink. So I picked up this Nalgene bottle, and I stood up, and I faced this guy with no clothes on. Well, he had clothes on. I didn't have any clothes on. He just had a bloody hand. I don't say anything. I don't believe it.
I'm obviously drunk. We're having a really hard time figuring out what's going on.
He looks at me and he says, "Where the fuck is Pikachu?" I don't know what the fuck this dude is talking about. I'm just trying to go to sleep. And, this dude's looking at me, and he's asking me where the fuck Pikachu is. And I ask him, you know, "Who the fuck are you? What are you doing breaking into my room?" He doesn't say anything. He just repeats, "Where the fuck is Pikachu?" Then he sees I have something in my hand. I don't think he can tell what it is. It's dark. It was dark enough for me to feel comfortable enough having a conversation with him without any clothes on. He asked me, what the fuck is that in your hand? Are you gonna squirt me? And I tell him, yeah, I'm gonna squirt you. We just kind of stare at each other for a while. He had been trying to get the door unlatched by breaking through next to the handle and flipping the lock from the inside. But once I woke up, he stopped. And after I stood up, neither of us really knew what to say. We just kind of stood there for a while. He realized at some point, through the silence, that I wasn't Pikachu, and I really didn't know who Pikachu was. I told him that I was just subletting the room, and he believed me.
Nathan came out of the office, and Nathan sees his hand and goes, Peter, what the fuck happened
to you? It was obviously a tendon immediately. I knew it was a tendon, but I mean, it looked essentially like a shoelace sticking out of his pinky finger, and it's like whipping in the air. I said, Peter, where's your finger? And he's like, no. I'm like, Peter, your finger's off. He's like, oh, no. I'm like, Peter, your finger's off. What happened? No. I look at Tom, and the kid's face is white. And he gets up. He, like, runs past Peter, and he, like, runs out the door. And, like, as the door is shutting, I'm like, call 911. So,
I was like, this guy is fucking nuts right now. This is an emergency. So I just took off running down Mass Ave. I was like, I'll just outrun this guy. Ran all the way down, about around the Aubon Pan, and I'd been dialing 911 as I was running. I was like the typical fucking 911 caller. They were like 911 emergency. I was like, oh Jesus, oh fuck, oh God. I was like, my friend's hurt real bad. Like.
He's like, don't call the cops. I got trouble in Long Island. And I'm like, Peter, you got problems right now. The ambulance shows up, and then he starts yelling, you fucked me, you fucked me, you fucked me, you guys fucked me, you fucked me.
They finally laid him down in the gurney and closed the doors, and then they left.
He is one of these people that you really like to watch, because sometimes you like to see how bad it can get. Like, you kind of want to see them go into, like, self-destructive mode, because you want to see them explode. It's not really horrible, but, I mean, it's, like, slightly entertaining, because you can't stop it. You know, like, they will, people like him, they'll just do it anyway. Sometimes it's just kind of interesting to see how low someone's actually going to put themselves.
I mean, it's weird because between you and Tom, you seem to like having him around a lot more, but you almost seem less sympathetic about what happened.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with liking him. I like him, but I mean, I'm not going to sympathize with him. You know, like, people can't take care of their own shit, and you know, like, I definitely don't want to be taking care of people, you know, and like, I'm not going to necessarily in this situation equate that with, you know, friendship with the guy. When he pretty much ends up just taking and taking and taking at the end of the day, he has relatively little to give back other than his entertaining personality is basically really fun to be around, but I just don't have any sympathy for his problems. He always says that the man who wants nothing is invincible. It's like his mantra. But back to the story.
Let's go find Peter's finger.
Because, you know, if we find the finger, there's a good chance that they could actually put it back on.
I know exactly where his apartment is. I know exactly where he's staying. And I know the exact route that he would take to go home.
I think when we were following the blood trail, I'll admit that, yeah, definitely I was excited, like, that I was tracking this guy's movements, you know, like following his blood down the sidewalk.
So following his blood trail.
You followed the blood trail to his doorstep, where it looked like it had been raining blood. This is obviously the part where Peter's recognizing that he can't find his keys. And so, which is funny because they were in his pocket the whole time. And I think that we're pretty lucky that he didn't find his keys and came back, because otherwise he definitely wouldn't have gone for any help.
In which case he probably would have bled to death. And if he didn't bleed to death, he would have woke up with probably the worst hangover experience I think anyone can ever fucking have. You wake up, and not only is your head pounding, and, you know, you're covered in blood and sleeping in your clothes from the night before, but your pinky is missing, and there's a 7-inch fucking tendon hanging out of the front of it.
Right at the corner of Putnam and Surrey Ave, there's a very large snowbank, and the snowbank had a lot of blood in it, so it started shining the light like around the snowbank, and there was the finger. It was laying right in the middle of the sidewalk, and it was like pointing right at us.
We have pictures of it. We'll definitely. Can we throw a picture of it on the website?
Oh man,
can we?
Maybe.
Okay.
We call the cops, and they send over an ambulance. And they come over with a biohazard bag.
And he starts picking it up, and this long 7-inch tendon is like now like frozen to the concrete. And so it's like picking up a long string of spaghetti off the table. It's just like slowly peeling off.
And they put it in the bag. And at this point, Peter calls. And he's like, oh, hey, dude. I'm just calling because I just was wondering if you found my... I'm just calling because I just was wondering if you found my cigarettes. At this big snowbank, I assume that Peter stumbled into it and slipped. Right next to the snowbank is a stop sign. And the stop sign post is bolted to an older stop sign post, one that has been cut off, and they're shaped so that you can actually fit them into each other. Basically, you don't have to pull the anchor out of the ground. You can just cut the pole off and then bolt a new pole onto the old pole. But the two poles over time had sort of become separated, and it was just enough space for someone to like stick their pinky, or basically any finger could definitely fit into this slot. Peter, in his like sorry-ass drunken stupor, slipping, reached out for one of the stop signs that he saw, and I think he missed it, and jammed his finger right down into this slot. And I think after that happened, he rolled over, and then that's when the finger actually just popped right off. There was nothing they could actually do to reattach it, because it ripped the tendon out of his arm.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the 286 horsepower TL Type S with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at Acura.com.